Well, hey, what's going on, everyone? I want to welcome you to the Exchange Podcast. Today, we're doing a bonus episode to the series that we've been in over the last 5 weeks called Becoming. And in this collection, we've been focusing on the idea, who are we becoming in Christ? That's the question we've asked. And what we realize is that's the most important question that we should be asking ourselves, and especially when it comes to this area of our lives called relationships. And a lot of you have had questions along the way of this series, and we wanted to create a space with this bonus episode to answer some of those questions. But I would love to introduce you to our podcast guests. They're not even guests. I've got my lovely wife, Michelle, in the room. I've got Pastor Hal Mayer in the room with us. Let's go, our discipleship pastor. We've got Pastor Chrissy Mayer in the room, our married pastor here at Grace Family Church. And last but certainly not least, the one and only Lindsay Hernandez. Come on, somebody. Lindsay.
Do this thing.
She's like, can we stop with the intro? Can we just get going?
I feel like you probably have like a fresh like energy because it was your birthday, right? Your birthday on Friday,
and you went. I am feeling a new age, getting closer to the 30s.
Oh, wow.
You're getting all the wiser then.
All the wisdom. Bring it. So I'm excited to be in the room with all of you, getting to ask you the questions that our young adults have submitted.
All right. I'm excited,
too. Are you guys ready?
I'm excited.
I'm excited. Always. I don't know if they're ready, but
this is my favorite crew. Is it really? Hands down.
You would hope.
Do you mean that?
No, for sure. Okay. Exchange is the best. The Hutchinsons are the best.
I love you. We love you.
Happy to be here.
Let's go. Let's set it off. Let's go.
Let's go. So first question, let's keep it very simple. How do I know if I'm ready to date?
We just get to, I already said, like, my goal is not to answer every question, but I would love to answer this one. I think the question, a couple things that I want to look at, and this is probably one of the most unpopular opinions that I have, is that if you can't see yourself getting married in 2 years,
very good,
let's not date. Mm. Because you're just setting yourself up for failure in so many different ways. The idea that you're going to be able to date somebody godly for 4 or 5 years at a time is just, it's a lot of time. And on top of it, it's understanding what's next and what you're going to be doing. And so I say that first and foremost, if it's not possible, if you're like going, man, I am not going to get married until I get out of school and I'm a freshman, let's not do that. And then on top of it, it's, are you ready to date? Well, what do the people around you that love you and are smarter than you tell you? Or just see you for who you really are. I always tell people, like, man, what are the people around you telling you? And are you in that good place? And that's for somebody that's beginning to date. I think for people that have been dating, the question is always, am I ready to date again? Like, have I learned from my last dating relationship? Mm-hmm. How did it end? Did it end badly?
Sure.
Like, did I go past the barriers that I set before? Have I healed enough to go forward? And I think the question always has to be, who do you have around you that is telling you the truth that allows you to do that? I think that question always goes back to the people around you.
Yeah. Good. And I think it's having a better understanding of the purpose of dating too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of us just go, oh, this is going to be fun. This is the exciting thing. Or it's also the pressures of being 18 in your early 20 something, seeing everyone else in a relationship that leads you to just say, you know what, I'm going to jump into it and I'm going to go for it. But there's some critical questions, like Hal said, that you got to be asking yourself. And really, I think that you got to ask yourself, do I have a healthy understanding of the purpose of dating?
Yeah.
Like if dating is the training grounds for marriage, like, have I trained myself for that season of life? And I think a lot of us just kind of skip out on that phase, but got to ask yourself some critical questions.
And I have to add that I feel like in today's society, we focus on asking questions for the other person, like, oh, are they on track with their walk with God? They healthy? But we never ask ourselves those very questions. Mm-hmm. And I think that's super important. That's why I love this series, that it's called Becoming. Who am I becoming for the person that is going to potentially be my wife or husband one day?
Yeah. So, Michelle, based off of what you just said, what would be something practical for a man or a woman to do right now to ask themselves those questions?
I would ask, where are you with your walk with God? Do you have something so simple as a spiritual discipline every day? Mm-hmm. And if you don't, that's a perfect place to start. Because if you're not looking at Scripture for defining who am I supposed to be right now in this season and who is God calling me to be and how is God calling me higher, then how are you going to be in a relationship where that other person's asking that same thing?
Yeah. That's cool. I would even say, do you have the accountability in your life to step into a relationship? Because it's messy. It's just messy. And you can't get through this thing alone. You need other people to surround you and encourage you and counsel you in the process. So
it's good. Yeah. Well, I do want to add to that, even though I know we don't all have to answer every question, but I do want to say, and it's been a large part of my story, that having an adequate understanding of your story and your past, in having a period where you have done the hard work of working through, you know, your pain of your past and your baggage. You know, we've talked about that before in the exchange. But really, truly working on becoming the most whole version of yourself. You know, we talk about all the time, it's not about being in a relationship makes you complete. It's about two whole people coming together. Mm-hmm. And as much as, you know, you want to find somebody else who's whole in a relationship, and you should be praying for God to be working on that person, right? And that they're pursuing their own healing and their own freedom, but you want to bring your best self at the same time. So I love what you said, Michelle, about asking yourself the same questions and what you're looking for in a partner, being the most whole, being the most aware, right? Even having an adequate understanding of your giftings and your calling and what is that God's calling you to. Because if you're looking to hook up with a life partner, right? Like, it's the mission of marriage. Like, God is calling you to something together because you are better together than you are apart. And if you don't even have an adequate understanding of your story and your calling and your purpose and what God's calling you to do, then how are you going to look for someone that can complement that?
It's great.
And making sure that's not your truth, but God's truth.
So I think you kind of answered the second question, but I'd love to hear from at least one of you. How do I know if I've found the one?
There is no one.
There we go. There's billions of people.
There's a lot of people. I always tell people, I'm like, how messed up would it be if there was only one person that you could be with and they got married to somebody else? Like, that would literally set a cascade of no one gets to marry. There is no one. And so really what you're looking at is not finding, because, and here's why I say that, because there's this idea that if I find the one, everything's going to be easy. That doesn't, there is no easy marriage. And you, when people go into marriage, I still remember we had some friends who went to premarital counseling with a premarital counselor that we had never used before. And they came back and they said they were the most, compatible couple they had ever met, and it pissed me off. And she was surprised. She's like, why are you angry at this? I'm like, because this premarital counselor is giving you the idea that because you're compatible, it's going to be easy.
Right.
I don't care if you're compatible. I don't care if you're the same or totally opposites. Like, when you get into marriage, it's going to be tough. And so with the one, it's all right. Do they love Jesus? Do the people around me think this is a good idea? Do we know where we're going next? Does he have a freaking job? Like, that's the, we can talk about, like, the Jesus thing is really good, but also a job is very important. And so we're looking at those things. Do the people around me think this is a good idea? Have I introduced them to family and friends? And so I think the one is more about looking, do they check off the boxes, and can I have a conversation with them? Do I love being around them?
It's good.
But yeah.
Fact check me on this. I feel like I may have read this somewhere in further study in the past. That idea of the one, that's like a Greek mythology thing, I'm pretty sure, right? Am I wrong?
It's been around. I mean, it's been around for a while. It came back into play, though. It's funny how it came back. It came into play recently with boomers, which is funny because boomers are absolutely the worst at marriage. Like, they're just awful at marriage.
Which doesn't mean they can't be good.
And so, no, I'm just saying, because they were the first ones that kind of brought that idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, they're just not the one. And so that's the reason why you'll find so many boomers that have been married like 5-6 times, mm-hmm. is because they keep thinking, well, if I just find the right one, then it'll be easy. That's not
true. I blame Disney.
You blame Disney?
I'm trying to get tickets for my family and kids, so I won't conject to that, but yes.
I don't think Disney is listening to this podcast and deciding.
Can you imagine? There's a young adult right now listening to this in the middle of Magic Kingdom. And they're like, this is crap. This is crap.
In the Little Mermaid ride.
Yes.
Chasing after her prince.
Oh my gosh. All right, moving forward. Here we go.
If he doesn't talk to me like that, I don't want it.
All right, guys. So here's another question. And we're switching gears a little bit. How much should attraction weigh into things when it comes to a Christian dating relationship?
Honey, how hard was it for you to lay aside attraction?
Whoa.
Oh my gosh.
What are you talking about?
To look at the deeper things of my heart.
Wow. Oh my gosh. I think that we should just go
I'm
back.
I'm so confused by this question. Are you saying that? What are you saying?
You know, just because I was so incredibly good looking to you.
There we go.
Oh, I thought you were saying you weren't, and I like
no,
laid
I just
it
put
aside.
Myself out there like that.
That's I was where like, I went, but I was like, wow, Chrissy has some heart, man.
No, meaning you can't just focus on that. Like, yes, right. That is important.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
You need to be attracted to your spouse, and I think that there can be some trains of thought that are like, yes, that's not important.
It is
important to be attracted to your spouse. However, yeah, there are other priorities as well.
Right. And it's amazing how much potential hot people have. Like,
I've always. Hot people being you, Chrissy.
No, it's like, gosh. No, whenever you somebody's like, but they've got so much potential, I'm like, how hot are they? Because.
That's facts.
Nobody ever just tells somebody that's not good looking they have potential. Like, they have a job and all this kind of stuff, and they're like, yeah, well, you know.
But I just think that a lot of our young adults and people, not just young adults, but people get hung up on that, and that's the starting place of it. But also, that's the end. It was like, the relationship ended because, man, she was hot, but she had nothing else to her, you know?
Right.
I just think we got to go back to scripture. Proverbs 31, charm is deceptive, but beauty is fleeting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's so much more that we got to see past the skin. And we need to be intentional in getting to know people in that capacity before we just go, oh, he's hot, or man, she's hot. Like, it doesn't stop there. And like Chrissy said, I think there's a place for that. Attraction has to have a place in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Which is no, man, like, the way you met her at 25, it's probably going to change at 75, and same for the guys, you know, like,
I'm glad you added change. Same
same thing for the sides. Dudes
well, and when you, it's kind of one of those things that I don't remember what the exact number was, but I love doing the quick, like, guys, do you understand like how little sex is a part of an actual marriage, like percentage wise?
Yeah,
like it's 0.5% of your time, and that's, I think it was, it's like 0.5% if you do it every single day for like an hour.
Dang.
And that never happens. And so it's like, but it's like one of those
forums
things,
are
like,
you reading, my guy?
In an hour.
So that's what I'm saying. It's not happening.
Here's
that. So when you think about it, it's like, man, I need someone I can freaking get along with. If I can't have a conversation with them, like, I'm going to get bored of staring at them.
Right.
And so you have to, at some point, it matters. But man, if you can't have a conversation, or you don't find shared interest, it's not worth it.
So the point is, he loves talking to you, Chrissy.
Yes.
And we're friends.
I love hearing you talk.
I will say too, like,
I don't always love talking.
That means he doesn't want to respond, but he loves listening to you speak. Oh my God.
Michelle, Sorry. You wanted to share something.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, like, if you are with someone right now and you are wanting to get married to them solely because of attraction, don't get married.
Right.
The reason being is because when you get married, you will always find someone that's more attractive than your spouse.
No.
You can say, I love Mark and I love him so much and he's super attractive. But if it was solely based on attraction, really, if it was solely based on attraction, he would say there's women that he may see that be more beautiful than me or whatever it is. So things like that, if it's solely based on attraction, then just don't get married right now.
Good.
I think there's a lot of growth. That
good word.
There.
If y'all could be in the room, the way Mark was looking at Michelle.
I mean, aww. I didn't know where it was going, but she's.
I thought she was going to say, I find so many
beautiful.
Guys more attractive than Mark.
No, well,
you don't plant that seed in my life.
The reason why I can say that is because there's way more to Mark than his looks to me.
Aww.
But if there wasn't, if that wasn't the case, I'd be like, oh, okay.
All right, we got to get out of here. Let's go, babe.
All right, you guys. How can we encourage young adult men to meet young adult women who share their convictions without turning church into a dating space?
Huh.
I don't. This question kind of frustrates me.
I'm trying to get to the core, the essence of the question. I just think that I would say to this person, there's no better place than to meet your future spouse than in God's house.
Yeah.
I think it goes about how you do it.
I think it's
right.
The approach.
Yep.
I think that
question,
men need to be men and ask the question, will you go on a date with me respectfully? And if she says no, take it at what it is. Don't feel cringy. I think about how many young guys leave the young adult ministry or the youth ministry because the girl rejected him or broke up with him. I just don't think that that's the answer.
Mm-hmm.
So I think having that framework in your mind, that mentality of going, I'm going to ask the question, I'm going to shoot my shot. And if it doesn't land, it's not a reason for me to run from God or run from the community that God's put in my life. So
yeah.
That's good.
And if you can actually date the right way, then you can coexist in a place afterwards.
Correct. It's good.
And that's the thing. If we can put physical to the side long enough to figure out whether or not we actually like the person without kissing them or anything like that, I'm going, then when you go, oh, wait, this is not going to work at all.
Right.
It's a lot easier.
Yeah.
You can coexist. Because that was one of the toughest things in youth ministry and young adult. When people started dating, I'm like, yay. But at the same time, crap, because when they break up, somebody's got to choose the exchange and somebody somebody went somewhere else.
I was going to comment. That's why I love how the exchange has matured in that way, because we have, by the way, when I said I hate this question, it frustrates me. The question itself doesn't. What does when people just come to church to date?
To date. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If you're coming just to date, then you're your intentions aren't pure. What I'm saying is that now the exchange is so mature in the way where we have people, even some of our volunteers that have dated, that have gone into that relationship whole and have left whole. And now they're serving alongside each other. And there's no awkwardness. There's no like, oh, I can't look at them. I can't talk to them. They're like really great friends. And we talk about, you know, small group questions together, all that stuff. And so I think exchange is a really good place. No bias, but, you know.
It's good.
All right. How can I give a friend dating advice in a Christ-like way? How can I love them like Christ while they are in an unequally yoked relationship? Miss Mayer?
I just heard this analogy recently. You know, we've talked about before what it looks like to be unequally yoked. And I think that a lot of times...
Wait, just one second. That is a Christ follower dating someone that doesn't follow Christ, just so everybody understands.
Explaining that. Yeah. And a lot of times we can think that the blanket thing is, okay, we're equally yoked when you're a Christian and I'm a Christian. But that's not actually being equally yoked. Mm-hmm. It's, are we in similar seasons? Do we have even... A similar maturity in our faith? Do we even both have an understanding, again going back to what our calling is and stuff? If I know that God is calling me to something, I'm not going to want to be yoked up with someone who God is calling in a different direction. And so realizing when we meet someone, just because they're in church, just because they show up to the exchange, that doesn't mean that you are automatically equally yoked. There's a lot further filters to determining if you are equally yoked with somebody.
Yeah, I think about that idea, unequally yoked, it goes past beliefs, but I think there's some core questions that you got to get to. I think about how many young adults, they're 3, 4, 5 months in, and they go, we want to get married, but they haven't spoken about children. They haven't spoken about desires long-term and what they desire to achieve and accomplish in their life. And you go, man, you need to talk about that stuff. So I think that goes back to the idea of being unequally yoked as well. But to the point of that question, I think they asked, how do I give advice, dating advice in a Christ-like way? And I think it's always starting the conversation with that person with the statement, I care enough about you to let you know this. And if that's not received, I think Matthew 18 is probably the one that gives us framework how to have a Christ-like conversation with someone where there's conflict in the church. But having that conversation with someone else that feels the same way and inviting them into the conversation. And then sometimes we have to get to a point where we go, I can't fight the battle for them. They have to get to a place where they believe it and see it for themselves. If not, we've just got to trust the Lord and his sovereignty is going to do that work in their heart and reveal those things to them.
Right. And we're not giving ultimatums. That's the Christ-like, because the Christ-like thing is no matter what you respond, I'm still going to be there for you. Like I'm going to care for you. I'm going to help you. And so it's not, if you don't do this, we're not friends anymore. It's because here's the deal. It's so funny. Whenever we do all of these series, I hear people say, I hear that message in a totally different way when I'm dating and then when I'm not dating. And so you may, it may just not be getting through in the same level. It makes perfect sense to you, but they're not seeing it because they're in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And look, dating and attraction and sex and all of those things is very powerful. And so you have to speak the truth. You gotta be there for them and wait for the moment where they go, oh man, this isn't the right thing, and then lean in and help.
Just to add out there, I read a book, Define the Relationship, by Jeremy and Jerusha Clark. It's old, but it's still so good. Whether you're dating or not, I would recommend you guys go buy it, read it. It's going to help you in navigating relationships as a whole.
Yeah, that's good.
And then as we move on to the next question, how can I keep myself accountable in a dating relationship? What do I look for in an accountability partner?
I'll answer the first part of that. When it comes to accountability. This is the idea that we are seeking wisdom, right? All throughout the Bible, especially in the book of Proverbs, yeah. we learn about how wisdom is a treasure. It is like finding gold amongst other gems. So it's kind of this whole idea. I don't know if anybody has ever been panning for gems. This is something I did when I was in like middle school with my family. We went on a family trip, to Tennessee and we went panning. So if anybody's ever done that, you understand. But if you haven't, I think you can understand the concept. Mining.
No, panning is where you put the water in and you get out the gold nuggets.
It's kind of got a mine there first.
No, it's in the creeks and stuff like that.
Lindsay's been drilling down into the crust of the earth.
I've been doing it all wrong.
I'm looking for the gold.
But it's this whole idea of, you know, people coming into the church, we're bringing our junk, we're bringing our dirt, right? And so we're kind of, when we're looking for a potential mate, we are kind of sifting through these different filters, and accountability helps that as we are seeking wisdom to find the gold. Mm. So in seeking that wisdom, gosh, you hear couples all the time that if someone speaks a little bit of truth or says, hey, I kind of see some red flags, then they're like, oh, they just don't get us. Yeah, like their relationship is something different and something special, right. And it's us against the world mentality. Mm-hmm. And there's not a more dangerous place to be than when you are not open to accepting feedback in an outside perspective. And when it just becomes, hey, it's just us. We're not going to talk about a relationship to anybody else. I'm going to get mad if I find out you're talking about us to your girls. I'm going to get mad if I find out that you're talking to your parents about us. So and, you know, that can kind of go round and round and round. And so realizing that wisdom is a gift and that we should be intentional about seeking out wisdom in our life.
That's good, Chrissy. I think too, like if you have, or if you're in a relationship, it's not just the male that says things such as like, hey, it's just us. So we don't need to hang out with them, or we don't need to invite them into the conversation, or why are we talking to them about our challenge? Like that's a red flag. Mm-hmm. Like if that guy or that girl is bringing that stuff up and they're bringing that in your relationship, you need to break up with them. Because chances are, that's not just a dating thing. That's going to be their marriage framework, too.
Yes.
And your marriage cannot survive with just you and he or she or whatever. Like, you need to make sure that you break up with that person, because they are missing the fact that none of us were intended to go through this life alone. We need other people
in order
for us to have a strong relationship.
And look, your accountability is only going to be as good as you're going to be accountable anyway.
That's good.
And so it comes down to another thing too, it's the boundaries that you're setting originally. Like you can't expect accountability just to keep you from doing, like you've got to decide these are the things we're not going to do. And then the greatest trait in accountability partner, they love you enough to tell you the truth.
That's good.
Like they literally will call you out, and you also feel like you can be honest with them and tell them when you mess up. And so accountability in dating comes down to the boundaries that you set from the beginning, but also the people that you come around. Because guys, I've said this before, like you don't need to be in a dark room in your home by yourself to have a good conversation. Like you're setting yourself up for failure in that way. We can have good conversations in public. We can have good conversations in other places. If you set yourself up for failure, no amount of accountability is going to help you out.
That's good.
And so it's setting your boundaries first, letting them be known. One, the person you're dating knows your boundaries. If they don't know your boundaries, that's a problem. But then also the person that's keeping you accountable understands your boundaries too. And they work together.
I think Michelle and I last year, we did a talk during our relationship series out of the Song of Songs. And it was really this framework of, man, we want to pursue one another. Mm-hmm. We're challenged by this. But they were in public having these conversations. Like, I think that's the beauty of scripture, that it gives us framework how to have these conversations. And as they were pursuing one another, as they felt this mutual attraction and desire to get to know one another on an intimate level, they were saying like, but man, there's boundaries and we've got to be careful how we go about this. But the beauty is they were also doing it in public. So
it's the better idea of courting. Courting was literally sitting on the front porch and having the conversation. When your family's in the house while people are walking around, you could talk about whatever you need to talk about, but you understood that that's what you're going to, which is what you need to do anyway.
Yeah,
you need to have a lot of conversation. That is the hardest part about when, as soon as physical comes into play, look, every guy would rather do the physical than talk. And so they're going to talk the amount that they need to get to the physical.
Facts.
It's just the way that it is.
Yeah.
Like once even kissing comes into play, that's what you're going for. Like it's just, and because also girls, just so you know this, as guys, it's way easier to make out than it is to talk and share feelings. And so you need to be able to,
if you didn't know that.
And so the idea is to put yourself in the right place.
Yeah, and I'd have to say, too, I want to be sure that everyone knows that God did not create these boundaries because he just wants to be superior to us. God created these boundaries is because he created relationship, he created marriage, and it's an act of love. It's mm-hmm. like a parent telling their kid, like, hey, trust me. Just mm-hmm. trust me in this. Like, don't do this. True. Go this way, go that way. It's the same way with God. And I feel a lot of people think, like I growing up thought that, like, oh, God only has these rules because he's God and I just have to listen to what he says. And it's like, no, he wants me to experience the fullness of marriage mm-hmm. and saving myself for my husband. Mm-hmm. He wants That's me true. To experience such a beautiful thing. What he calls it actually an act of worship, which for me mm-hmm. for the longest time was like, what, God? Yeah. You see it that way? But it's an act of love, and that's why he created these boundaries.
Mm-hmm. That's good. You know, we were touched a little bit on the topic of communication. So one of the questions is, what advice would you give to couples who are struggling with communication in their relationship?
Stop speaking in tongues with each other. Let's just be honest for a second. Usually the reason couples are struggling in communication is they brought physical into play. And
those tongues.
I was
like, pause. Of course, that's what I'm talking about. You guys are
missing. We're following you now.
Okay. Yeah, I got you.
I think everybody on the podcast understood what I was saying. Anyway, sure. I feel like communication always becomes a problem once that comes into play, once the physical comes into play, and the communication stops. That's the problem. And so you got to reset up boundaries and take the step back. Now, if you're not having sex and you're not doing anything physical and you have a hard time communicating, then you should probably break up. Because if you can't communicate, that's a problem. Like, that's a big deal, guys. That's the number one thing you're going to be doing the rest of your marriage is actually talking. Well, you should be doing is actually talking to each other and figuring that out. But I've said this before. I think sometimes we try to save dating relationships on a higher level than people try to save their own marriages. Yeah. You're dating. You can break up. It's okay.
It's good.
And so if it's not working and you can't communicate, then and it's not because of the fact that sex has entered and all this problems have entered, then, yeah, break up.
I think when it comes to dating, here's one of the things that I see a lot of. A lot of young couples who are dating want to make every single waking moment together exciting and exhilarating and special, and you get so caught up in trying to create moments of awe. Mm. That's not how this should work. Mm. Like, you've got to be okay sitting down in a coffee shop having a conversation. Because I would be so surprised how many couples are trying to have that awe moment. It's like, but you guys can't sit down and have a formal conversation over coffee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that's where it starts. Mm-hmm. And then with time, you got to build on a platform. But I just think that we've got to place less value on having such attractional moments while we're dating and really just connect with each other's hearts and get to know each other on that level before that comes into play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to Hal's point, too, even if you are engaged, that doesn't mean you still cannot break up. There's a way back from engagement. And many people have done it. And you can leave whole still from that.
Yeah, I would say some of the worst marriages I've seen started were the ones who they were engaged and then it all came out and they were just so obsessed with being married that they looked past it. Yeah. And they had a moment where they could have ended it and they didn't. And they went through a lot of problems.
That's good.
And yeah.
Can we talk about young marrieds creating space for communication? Can we maybe lean into that? Because I know there's some young marrieds that probably...
You can. And I think along with it, this is a good question to touch on that. How do you, as a couple, form a relationship with Jesus versus individually?
It's good. Married pastor.
And now we do need to differentiate between dating and married.
Yeah.
Because those do look very different. Mm-hmm. Well, let me just say this real quick. When you're dating, you are still developing your relationship with God. This is not a couple's exercise at this moment. You are growing. You're a part of a small group. You are doing those things. You should be able to come back together and have conversations about what you're learning, what you're going through, and all that. But your relationship with God should not be tied to somebody else until you're married. That's why I've said this before, and I've talked about not doing devotions together, not doing stuff together while you're dating. Now, once you're engaged, then yeah, you're going to move toward those things. But what you want to see, and let me just say this, what you want to see is them growing by themselves.
Yeah.
If in a dating relationship, they don't have the ability to grow by themselves, they will not look to grow together in a marriage relationship. And so let me just say that by dating, you want to see them grow. You want to see the opportunities. You want to be able to have conversations about it. Marriage is different. Go ahead, babe.
Yeah, I would say when it comes to marriage and figuring out, okay, like, we've been pursuing God individually
for a while. Now, how do we do this together? It's really a matter of going back to those spiritual disciplines and, you know, like prayer, fasting, reading the Bible, serving, all of those things. How can we then merge our life, which is going to take intentional conversation, to be able to do these things together? And, you know, you might have different giftings than your spouse. But figuring out how can we bring those two things together in order to create something, you know, that is, again, better together than we are apart. And how do we Sabbath together? I mean, that's conversation that we just recently started talking about. We heard somebody talk about it at a conference last year. Again, it's just figuring out how do we do that together. It takes intentional conversation and it takes intentional planning.
Very good.
Right. What conference, Chrissy?
VU
conference.
Oh. Well, we do have marriage conference, guys, coming up. If you did not know that, small little plug.
Yes.
You definitely want to be in the room.
That's what I love
for
about
that.
Chrissy. She's a woman of integrity. She could easily just lied and been like,
marriage conference. Yeah.
No, I was there.
We do have marriage conference coming up May 3rd and 4th. So if you have not been, this is just a great opportunity to connect and do something together to learn how to grow more together with your spouse.
Not to belabor the point on this, but I think when it comes to this specific idea of seriously dating couples, talking about growing in their walk with Christ and growing in their relationship with Jesus, like, you need to make sure for that guy, the motivation for his growth and his walk with Jesus isn't you. Mm-hmm. And the same thing for you, woman of God, like, your motivation shouldn't be to appease them or to show yourself to be faithful to God for that guy or that girl, however you want to look at it. But I just think that, I think it's the psalmist that says, he prays like, Lord, give me a true longing in my soul for you. Like, if you don't have that, then don't date.
Yeah.
And don't place an expectation that he's going to treat you like a man of God or she's going to serve you like a woman of God would, because they don't have a longing for God. So I just think that you got to make sure that that's very, very clear and that you're looking for that. I think that it's so easy to get Jesus juked in today's day and age with all the cute little Jesus phrases and Bible in your bio, and you know, you say all the Christian-y things that are right and correct, but you're missing the point at the core of the heart. So
okay, so let's say this girl and her man, woman, has that. The question is, what is the best way to put yourself out there in terms of dating? How can you be sure you're not interfering with the relationship timeline God has for you?
I may have to read that question again.
Relationship timeline. I think that goes back to our first question when we talked about whether or not you're ready.
Exactly.
I think if you're ready to date, you're not messing with any timeline.
Yeah.
Like, once again, there is not a one person that God is. You don't see it in the Bible. Like, you see it a couple times, but it's very like they had arranged marriages back then. And so you don't see like a specific person. So if you are ready, then I wouldn't worry about God's timeline in that. As far as putting yourself out there, I've never been a 20-something-year-old woman trying to do that. So I'll leave that up to you guys.
Yeah, but I do see a lot of people, but specifically young adults, saying, well, how can I mess this up? Like, am I going to mess up his timing? Like, they really do. Yeah, it's like, is this God's will? Is this not? And it's almost like they're putting more trust in their actions and less their trust in what God's actually trying to do for them.
Very good.
And so I always point, you know, when certain women come to me and ask me that question, I'm like, scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God and the rest shall follow.
Right.
So are you seeking first the kingdom of God? Not just, oh, on a Tuesday or on a Sunday. Are you seeking first the kingdom of God every single morning and every single night?
That's good.
Yeah.
And if you're doing that, then you have to trust. That's this whole thing where faith comes in. You have to have the faith and trust that God is going to lead you where you need to go. And he's going to, you know, bring that person in front of you, whatever that looks like. But it's not what you can do. It's what God's trying to do in you.
I do love that answer. But I go another layer to that. And Chrissy, I think you speak about this quite often, is focusing on your purpose. Like, when we talk about seeking first his kingdom and all these things will be added onto you, it's like, man, the thing that I want added onto me is that guy or that girl or that relationship. Like, homie, you got to find your purpose before you find your partner.
Right.
Because your purpose is going to point you to the person that's going to help or complement you and come alongside of you to fulfill your God-intended purpose in this life. So I think you got to focus on purpose.
I remember when Hal and I were hanging out, talking, I definitely showed interest in him from the start. But he knew what his purpose was. He knew what his calling was. Yeah. And I was a newer believer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so we were friends for a year and a half, which is really great because we truly got to know who each other were. And we saw patterns. And, you know, we saw that when life happened that, you know, he was looking for, is she still going to be pursuing God? Yeah. You know, you see what people fall back on, right, when they go through stuff. And so he really allowed a long period of time before he reciprocated verbally what was going to be a next step for our relationship. And although I kind of was frustrated with that in the process, now I can see that because he was clear in his purpose and his calling that he wanted to make sure that he was hooking himself up with the right partner that was going to be able to come and add to that purpose and calling.
It's good. Focus on purpose.
That's good.
Well, okay. And don't stay in groups of 10 girls and not allow any other guys in to talk to you. I'll just say that. I feel like there's these groups of girls that literally move like amoebas across the exchange and don't allow any men into it. And then if you have a certain girl that gets angry at any man coming up to talk to you, you should distance yourself from them too. That's just, you know, a little 2 cents.
Sounds like he experienced that at some point in his life prior to you, Chrissy, right?
Discipleship pastor, everybody.
All right, we're going to switch gears, y'all, because some people just want to know. Okay, how far is too far physically in a dating relationship? What are boundaries I can set to prevent lust and sexual sin?
Okay.
Let's do the first question.
So
too far is too far.
I've said this before. I hate that question.
I was going to say the same thing.
Because
I'm starting to like you, man.
You're starting to.
We've been doing life together right for almost 5 years.
We've been around each other for a while.
We have dinners together quite often.
The relationship changes.
This was the moment. And here's why I hate it. Is it because it's like we're drawing a line in the sand, and we're going to get as close to it as possible. And so that is the problem. And so when we're looking at it and we're trying to figure out the bigger thing is what's going to keep me from, and lust is, it's going to happen, but how do I keep it from being a constant deal? And it's all about the boundaries that you set. The first off, how far is too far? I think anything that gets you to that. I mean, I've always been somebody from the neck up was the idea. And you're staying vertical. And so those are kind of the things going on, but I'd say at the same time, you want to wait as long as possible till you even start to kiss or do anything physical. In fact, here's what's crazy. Even non-Christian counselors, non-Christian psychiatrists will say the same exact thing, is you got to wait as long as possible. But here's the problem, though, is when you set that line, then it's like, well, we're going to go up to it. We're going to get as hot as heavy as we can in that moment. And then in that moment, I have to decide every single time not to go past that line, which is not it's not a good idea. But that's also why I say it's really hard to go too far sexually in public. And so, I mean, some people do it, but it's a lot tougher to do those things. Right. And so I think that's the biggest thing. The boundary is how do I keep the main thing in the relationship? We want to grow. We want to focus on one another and what we can build. Once the sexual side of things comes in, it's really hard to focus on that. That's why I'm always amazed at people that kiss before they even start dating. Like, whoa, that's not the most important thing. Physical compatibility or the ability to kiss each other the right way is not the most important thing.
Yeah.
So
I think you got to identify your stumbling block. Scripture talks about your stumbling block. And I think that you got to call it out. For some people, it is kissing. Straight up. I know some people that are just going, we just can't kiss because... Yeah, it's a slippery slope, and it's not going to lead us to a good spot. So I think it differs, but you got to put a hard line.
Two hard lines. Two sets of boundaries.
Two sets of boundaries. Yeah. And I think they're probably talking about oral sex. One of our pastors called it Jesus sex the other day, and I was like, help me with that. And then, but he clarified, and he said a lot of young adults and a lot of Gen Z go, oral sex isn't sin.
Right.
And Jesus doesn't speak to that clearly. So that's fine. And I go, that's not fine. It has the title sex right next to it for a reason.
Can I say something really quickly? I think us as a generation and just people in general have to stop making the Bible convenient to us.
Mm-hmm.
Because so many times I hear people talking about, well, you know, that's not really what it means. And that's not really, there's no asterisk in the Bible. We cannot just use it for our advantage, because you're going to find what you're looking for.
Right.
If you're going to be like, well, God wants this for my life, because it says this and that. It says them. It says this and that. Like, it's not based on what your truth is. There's one truth, and that's the truth of God.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't find that there, then it's not true. And then you should go based off of that.
Yeah.
And you got two things. One, I would say that it's funny that they even say that, because sex is considered, in the Bible, when you define it, it's any touching of genitalia is basically what it is. And then also, but you got to realize in the New Testament talks about don't do anything that would cause lust or impure thoughts. Yeah. And so guys, we got to take a good step back there. And like I said, if the most important thing is figuring out this is somebody I'm going to marry, the conversation is way more important at this time.
Okay. And I think this is good to drop this question in there. And this will be our last question, and you guys can add on anything else. Is masturbation and dating bad, even if you're not watching porn? Does that same apply in marriage?
Going out with a bang.
Bang.
So let's
no.
Take,
too soon.
Let's take
no, we're not.
No bang. Oh, haha. Haha. I get it. Hello. But let's take that question first with dating, because it's two different. Yeah, go. How? You were just talking about this before.
All right. So one of the things that's very true, if you have a hard time controlling masturbation, especially guys, I want to speak to.
It happens with women. But
I know. No, I'm not saying this, but I, like I've said, I've never been one. And so if you have a hard time controlling masturbation when you are dating and when you're single, you have a hard time controlling it in marriage. I know many men that continue on because it is easier to masturbate than it is to have a conversation with your wife. Sometimes is easier to masturbate than it is to work through problems, because sometimes in order to get to that place, you've got to actually talk about stuff and your feelings and all that kind of stuff. And so the bigger problem is the addiction to it. And look, I've talked to a lot of different pastors with very different ideas and beliefs on these things. But I can tell you this, is it controlling your life? Is it controlling what you're doing? Is it your resort to everything? I mean, that's the same thing with pornography. Is your result to when you're lonely? Is your result when you're bored? Is the result when you can't sleep? Is it the result of so many different things? And so I've had a lot of people talk about just, it cannot master you. And it is. I'll have people say that they don't think anyone should ever do it. I have a hard time getting in that place. But at the same time, it's a hard line in the sand.
It is a hard line.
You're saying dating or also in marriage?
Are you dating. In marriage, that shouldn't be the case.
Right.
It's funny. We talked about this. I think there's situations in marriage where that's happened. I've known a pastor whose wife went through severe depression. And so she was she wasn't available for a year. I don't know what word I was going to end with there.
Commission.
That's what he was working towards.
I was trying not to say that, but
I know what you're saying. I know you're not trying to be.
She wasn't for an entire year, and like nothing. And so, I think it's one of those things though. Is it controlling your life? What's the reason behind it? But if it does become your answer to things, which it is, it's addictive. Yeah. It can take over your marriage.
It's good. Yeah. And I'll just add this last thing before we leave out. To the point that you mentioned with marriage, scripture says your body's not your own.
Right.
And I think that when it comes to this idea of masturbating, you are literally servicing yourself and meeting your own need. It's selfish.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture tells us that we shouldn't live with selfish desires, and that we need to kill selfish desires within us. So you need to get back to that, I think, as a foundational point. But also understanding those things, or things such as masturbating, it kills intimacy in the context of marriage. It's not just something that you make a conscious decision and say, no, I'm going to stop. No, you're probably addicted, and it's going to kill the level of intimacy in your marriage. I heard a story of a young man at the age of 13. He first came across pornography at 13 years old, and he was caught masturbating by his dad, and his dad made fun of him and mocked him for it. Mm-hmm. So what he did was he would go they lived on land, out into the pasture, and he would go watch porn and masturbate, or look at porn and masturbate. And he did this wearing, this is a wild story, boots. Like, he would wear his farmer's boots going out into the yard. So he did this for about 7 years of his life, all the way to the point that he learned he had a dysfunction and couldn't have sex without his boots on to find pleasure. Y'all, this is crazy. But
how is this a good way to wrap it up?
But
we're not wrapping it up. Just yet. I got something for you.
But,
going with that.
But,
I didn't. It was completely surprised to me.
But the crazy thing about it is,
why would you share this with me?
I know. I'm sorry, babe. Okay. Why would I share that with you? Anyways, I read a lot of things. But But it's just crazy to me to think, though, that you can just consciously make a decision to say, I'm just going to break up with this habit, or I'm going to put this aside. Mm-hmm. And you're really missing out on the beauty of the gift that sex is in the context of marriage. Yeah. If you create that habit early on in your life.
And I would say the question always should be, how long can I go without it? Not how often should I do it? And so I know that's a tough thing to say, but it is, especially with guys. Like, this is something I normally only share with guys, but I'll just say this. Like, I had an accountability group in college that we would have challenges.
Yeah.
How long? Because that was the goal, is I'm not going to allow this to take over my life. Yeah. I'm not going to allow this to be my crutch. And it can be.
Mm-hmm. Which that extremist view, I feel like people are like, whoa, that's like way too much. But it mm-hmm. takes that kind of like extremist view for you to be like, no, like this is the line in the sand I'm going to draw. If no one else wants to draw it, then that's their problem. But it's something that I want to do for my life. Yeah.
Okay, so before we end, I don't want to end just on that.
I would hope you would not want
to. I don't. I want you guys to give two things. Here's what it is. Encouragement for someone who finds themselves single, whether it be a girl or a guy, an encouragement to them, something that they need to know. And an encouragement to couples, you know, whether they're married or thinking about marriage. What would you tell them? Those two different sets of groups. So we'll go around the room.
I'll go last.
Okay. And we'll do very quickly.
Cool. I would say to the single person, you came into this world alone. Be okay if it's not in God's will for your life to be married, to go out that way too. Like, don't make marriage everything and all things that fill your cup. I know that's a hard truth, but some of us got to understand. Mm-hmm. Jesus even said it. I think it's in Matthew 19. It's a reference to the eunuch. Like, man, some of us are just not called to that. And even 1 Corinthians 7, Paul talks about it. Like, it's a gift, yes. But for some of us, it pulls us away from our devotion to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it's not intended to do that. So we got to be okay being single. And then I would say to the couple that has a desire to be married or is working towards that, really work hard to have some accountability and people surrounding you that are a little further than you are down the road, or have a marriage or have a relationship that you desire to have one day for your life.
That's good.
Dang, was that encouragement? I'm sorry.
How?
Say the Bible.
Look, there is
some truth to that. I'll say this. There is definitely some people I believe that will go through life that will never be able to get married, but also believe that the Bible says that if you have that urge, then, I mean, Paul literally says you should find a husband, you should find a wife, which makes it a lot easier than they say. But let me just say this. It is better to wait for the right place and to be in the right place than it is just to get married. And so my encouragement to you will be, you can have an incredible marriage no matter what age in life you start at. It can be good. Throw away the timeline of what you think it should be, because it doesn't have to be that.
I agree.
And marriage is so much more. I mean, guys, I just talked to somebody that was married for 70 years. That's a long time. And you can still be married for a long period of time because of that. Anyway, and then, so what was the other question?
For couples.
That are looking to get married
and
or are married. The statistics show that if you stay in church and you stay in community, I think your chance of staying together goes up by over 50%. And so there is something very powerful in the church. Mm-hmm. And even when things aren't going well, the best thing that you can do is stay connected to a group of believers and to a church.
Great.
Thanks. All right, ladies, let's prove to Hal that women can speak faster.
Wow. I might be able to speak faster, but I speak more, so that's something I'm working on. But no, I would say just bringing the gravity of dating and finding your spouse, that who you end up choosing for your spouse ultimately is going to determine the legacy that you leave.
Mm.
And it quite possibly is going to affect other people's eternity. And what I mean by that is going into marriage, having that adequate understanding of your story, your purpose, your calling, knowing that you have been brought together to live on mission, on purpose, for a purpose, that God has brought you together in order to build his kingdom together, which impacts other people's lives around you. And so who are you finding as your battle buddy? Who are you finding that you are going to war with to build up the kingdom? I think that gives a completely different perspective when you're looking to get booed up. I mean, I know it does me. And to those couples who are already married, I would say lean into the hard. do the hard work, realize that your differences are ultimately to, marriage is going to be a mirror, right? So when you hold up that mirror, you're going to see what's ugly about you. And you and your spouse, it's going to bring friction, you know, it's going to cause tension, but it's ultimately to make you more holy. Marriage mm-hmm. is not to make you more happy. Mm. And realizing that those differences are a good thing to make you more holy. So lean into the hard and see your differences and see your spouse's differences and maybe annoyances as something that God actually wants to complement in your marriage for the mission he's called you to.
Love it. Meech?
I would say whether you're single, dating, and or married, my encouragement to you would be is that you're not too far gone. So specifically for someone that's single or dating, if you've already had sex or you've had sex with the person that you're currently dating now, you can choose today, right now, after you've listened to this podcast, to wait until marriage. You're not damaged goods. You're not less worthy because of the decisions that you've made. Let's say, you know, well, I'm not going to say that part, but anyways. So I would encourage you in that. You can make the choice today to change, and God loves you so much. He always has. He didn't stop loving you or loves you less because of the decisions you've made.
Very good.
My encouragement also to the married couple is that you're also not too far gone. If there's an addiction, if there's something that you're going through in marriage, I would encourage you, don't give up. I would encourage you to find a community that will build you guys up, that'll, like Pastor Howell said, tell you the truth in love. And I want to also be clear, this is a decision made between a man and a woman. I think that's the way I would essentially end that, is that here at The Exchange, we'll always love you and always answer any questions you have. But we want to, you know, encourage you whatever season you're in.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. It's awesome.
We're gonna close this thing out.
Yeah. Thank you guys for all the wisdom, knowledge, experiences that you've brought to the room, and I know that many listening are going to appreciate everything that you've said.
I love it.
Pastor Mark.
Yeah, we're going to pray out. I want to leave you with this. I know we mentioned a lot of things, three resources or three books that I would recommend. The Meaning of Marriage by Timothy Keller. I would also say The Mingling of Souls by Matt Chandler's amazing book. And then Boundaries in Dating by Henry Cloud, another amazing book. So just challenge you, if you're really hungry, if you really have a desire to lean in and get all that the Lord has for you in this area of your life, you got to educate yourself as well to go in whole and to leave whole. So let's pray. Father, I thank you. Thank you, Lord, for each and every person that's pursuing you, running after you in this area of their lives, of relationships. God, I pray that you'd bring clarity to where there's questions and bring peace to where there's a sense of peacelessness. God, I just pray that you would give them a vision for the life that you've called them to live, Lord God. Let them dream big dreams of how you want them to further the kingdom of heaven and live and leave a life of legacy, Lord. And I just pray that as they think about those things, that they would get a greater vision for the person and purpose of the relationship that you're calling them to. So, Father, would you just bless them? Would you keep them? Would you make your face to shine upon them? Would you be gracious to them? In Jesus' name, amen.